Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. A Fairbanks Republican lawmaker wants to put the governor's mansion on Airbnb. Rep. William Stapp filed a bill last week that would require the governor's office to offer the Juneau residents up for rent on a short-term basis while the legislature is not in session.
I always try to look for ways to make government more efficient. And when you see that you have facilities that are underutilized, you should try to maximize them so they at least cover their own operating expense, you know.
The state pays a full-time staff of four to run the more than 14,000 square foot mansion, including a manager, a private chef, and two housekeepers. The three-story home with 26 rooms, 10 bathrooms, and 8 fireplaces was built in 1912 with a stipend of $40,000 from the federal government. Salaries and upkeep of the mansion currently cost about $800,000 a year, according to budget documents. Stapp says he'd like to defray that cost. He says it's a great place for any number of events, parties, weddings, even overnight stays for Instagram influencers.
I don't think a normal person would pay an exorbitant amount of money to stay at a normal hotel room, but they would actually if, you know, they could rent the governor's mansion, for example.
Dunleavy spent a total of roughly 2 weeks in Juneau during the first 2 months of the year, according to his public calendars. Even so, Stapp told the Juneau Empire he did not intend the bill as a swipe at the governor. The governor's office did not respond to emails seeking comment. Most bills introduced in the legislature have little chances of passing, and this one is no different. Senate President Gary Stevens isn't taking the new bill seriously.
Well, that's pretty silly, and I'm sorry to hear that happen. I mean, we have some serious things to accomplish here. I mean, silly things happen. I introduced a bill once to change the name of Fairbanks just for the fun of it.
And Alaska already imports most of its foods. But for many tribes in rural areas, cuts to federal grants and staff by the Trump administration could make food security even tougher. As the Alaska Desk's Alonia Nyden reports, that includes communities from Cook Inlet to Northwest Alaska.
Spring is a busy time at Tayoni Grown, a community farm located on the west side of the Cook Inlet. Local students come to plant seeds, water them, and then harvest organic fruits and vegetables. This summer, the farm managers had even bigger plans. They wanted to set up a community food forest that would include indigenous plants and fruit trees. But the forest and many more of Tayoni Grown plans are now up in the air because of cuts to federal staff and funding. That's according to Lori Stewart, the executive director of Tayonic Tribal Conservation District that manages the farm.
The loss of those funds in the coming years is going to have a big impact on the growth that we were building.
In Alaska, nearly all produce is imported, which makes the food supply vulnerable, especially in rural areas. Some support to local producers comes from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The department is among many agencies that cut programs and staff in response to Trump's executive orders. In recent weeks, the agency reinstated some of its employees, but then put them on administrative leave. This is the case for Amanda Compton, who lives in Palmer and works in the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. The program helps landowners, in Alaska mainly tribes, sustainably manage their natural resources. They helped villages set up fish passages, reindeer farms, and community gardens. That is, until the layoffs and disruptions, Compton says.
We lost our entire team of people that are working to get native communities greenhouses, our team that's getting the native entities fish passages. We lost our entire team that communicates between the engineers and tribal entities.
Tayonic, an off-road community of about 300 people, is located about 40 miles southwest of Anchorage as the crow flies. Produce needs to be flown in, and fruits and vegetables grown at the Tayonic farm give locals a rare chance to enjoy affordable fresh food. The USDA's Forest Service in December awarded $900,000 to the conservation district operating the farm. Stewart with the district says the grant was meant to grow their team and set up a community food forest. The forest would promote food sovereignty and traditional ecological knowledge, but the department terminated the award in an effort to comply with Trump's objectives.
There's a lot of caution going into the summer, so even if we were to find that no funding was impacted, right now we're making decisions as if it might be, and so therefore the season will be impacted.
Tayonic worked with tribal liaisons like Compton and her team who helped them navigate the grant opportunities. The conservation district staff also doesn't know if they will have engineers to assist them in building fish passages this summer. Meanwhile, about 500 miles northwest, around Nome, reindeer herders are asking similar questions. Nathan Baring works for the Reindeer Herding Association, and he says tribal liaisons used to help herders apply for grants and establish rotational grazing plans. The Trump administration also halted a USDA grant meant to support indigenous peoples' animal harvests and help communities expand their meat processing.
And having all of that kind of just thrown either into the air or outright eliminated just simply means that we start over in terms of shopping those projects around again, which then further delays what I would describe as Alaska's untapped potential in a pre-existing livestock industry that is both culturally tied and has incredible potential.
For herders like Bonnie Suanya Shiel, interruptions in federal programs mean that it's harder to find funds to build temporary housing for workers and corrals for holding animals. Despite the challenges, Shiel believes the herders will figure out a way to continue the practice, even if it means providing food for just their village instead of expanding their operations.
It's going to come back around. We're still here. We're still herding reindeer. We're still providing for communities.
While some of the USDA employees in Alaska were reinstated, many have not received an official notice to go back to work as of Tuesday. Several USDA grants remained frozen or terminated. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
And a draft of the 20-year plan for Alaska's state ferry system is open for public comment. Officials with the Alaska Department of Transportation are asking residents to weigh in on the plan that will guide the Alaska Marine Highway System through the year 2045. The long-range plan seeks to increase services to over 30 ports. In recent years, port calls have decreased and coastal communities have repeatedly voiced their concern. In an online public meeting last week, AMHS Director Craig Tornga said they're planning for more reliable service, not increasing it much, but bringing it back to pre-pandemic levels.
We're really looking at trying to increase the port calls at our current communities and to make sure that we have some reliable service on a regular basis that can be planned and then keeping it as efficient as we can from a cost perspective for the state, so it can be maintainable going forward.
The state plans to build new hybrid ferries to replace the aging fleet, hire more workers to run them, and improve infrastructures at the port. All of that, plus regular maintenance, will cost about $3 billion. The plan is to pay for it includes a combination of state and federal money, along with increasing profits from ridership. In creating the plan, the state hired engineering and research groups to crunch data and gather information from dozens of coastal communities. Economist Katie Berry says the ferry plan anticipates the state to appropriate roughly $120 million a year in operating costs. The 20-year plan also calculates that the federal funding remains intact.
The expectation is that the federal funding sources that have predated the Federal Infrastructure Act will be stable over this time period.
The infrastructure law brought in about $700 million in federal funds to the ferry system in the last 3 years. Meanwhile, Governor Mike Dunleavy has vetoed millions in state funding that the legislature approved. Efforts for a long-range plan began in 2022 after the legislature created the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board to help guide the state's DOT. The 9-member board is made up of state workers and coastal residents with ferry knowledge. The public comment period on the long-range plan ends March 30th. And Juneau's Valley Transit Center will soon have a new charging station for the city's fleet of electric buses. According to Capital Transit Superintendent Rich Ross, construction will begin next week and should be completed in mid-July. The city will close the parking lot, restrooms, and the public electric vehicle chargers off the Mendenhall Mall Road during construction. Pickup and drop-off will be temporarily moved to the park and ride lot next door. The two new chargers will serve 7 electric buses that arrived in December. Capital Transit drivers have been using slower chargers at their bus barn on Brentwood Place, which can take 6 hours to fully power up a bus when it's dead. The new chargers should cut that time down to about 2 hours, Ross says, and the more convenient location will keep bussers on route longer. The charging station project is estimated to cost roughly $1.6 million, most of which has been provided by the Alaska DOT. Rich Ross says all of the new electric buses should be on the road by June. This is KTOO.